If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Adam, you got to smell my mic. It smells like fucking cookies.
What?
Adam, did you come in here?
Happen?
Did you come in here and just eat chocolate chip cookies over my mic?
No, I didn't. Did you guys have any cookies? I didn't have any cookies.
No, I didn't have any cookies.
Cookies?
I mean, that's what I would eat.
You know,
I was gonna.
Before,
I had pie,
given
bro.
The choice. Before we go into the food, I want to say this
oh,
real.
Pie,
I want to say this real quick before we go into the food.
Cookies.
We should never not see each other for that long again. Was that like 5 days?
It felt like
I don't like
I was
it.
On a desert island.
I don't like it.
Well, I don't even like. I don't like when. Alone. I don't even like when Doug's out of town. I was like, fuck, I can't even ask Doug what's going on.
Yeah,
like,
Doug.
Yeah. Like, does Mind Pump still exist?
Actually, we forgot to tell you, Doug. We all had a meeting when you weren't here, and we decided that you can't leave.
Yeah.
Town.
Yeah,
town never again.
No vacations
ship,
for Doug.
Yeah, it's like putting a hole in the ship.
So, pie, huh? You ate a shit ton of pie.
I had, the first time ever I had pecan pie.
I've never had that in my life.
Oh, really?
Is it good? It's my
favorite. With some vanilla ice cream over it?
So pecan pie is good then?
Sounds filling.
Good for you or good
No. I know it's not good for you.
No, it was. You know what? First time I ever had it. And I don't know if you guys notice this. Maybe Sal has some scientific study to back this up. As we get older,
he always does.
I know, right? If not,
if I don't, I'll make something
I'm sure to say if he doesn't, he'll make one up. It sounds really. Oh, that sounds great.
Well, you know, pie is 3.14.
Oh, yes.
I've noticed that as I get older, things that I used to like as a kid, I don't like anymore, or my stomach can't handle, or it's just weird. And things I have different cravings and stuff I like. I would have never ate a pecan pie before, and it was phenomenal.
Are you
loved
pregnant?
It.
Are you pregnant?
I might be.
Yeah,
I might be.
Yeah.
Did he come inside?
Yeah.
So you know, here, you know, it's true. Your taste buds do change as you get older. They call it becoming more mature. But you notice like little kids like things that are really sweet, and they don't like things that are bitter. But then as you get older, you start to like enjoy things that are bitter. Like
it's a lot
like
more heightened when you're a kid, right?
Yeah.
So like all these flavors just are a lot. So
yeah, like olives or like stinky cheeses and stuff like that. Kids don't like that.
I never like that.
Or like,
but I love it now. I love, blue cheese, and I'm adding like spicy stuff in the mix.
Especially, I noticed like that, like red peppers. Like I never used, I remember watching my stepdad when I was little used to put red peppers on his pizza. And I'm like, oh my God, I remember trying to be like, my mouth was on fire.
Right.
Like now I drown my pizza with like red peppers.
Dude, I go red peppers and then a shit ton of Parmesan.
Oh, I do Parmesan, all day.
When I used to eat pizza, I can't anymore.
Fuck.
That sucks. And then olives for extra salt, so I like go, you know, super parched after that.
Hey, we're moving from a fitness radio show to like a, what's Food Network?
Hey, fat boys unite.
You guys had turkey, right?
Yeah.
Is it just me or is turkey overrated?
Yeah. It's either super dry or undercooked in my family's.
If it wasn't for the dark meat, turkey would fucking, I mean,
oh, I can't
well,
dark meat.
Okay, so my mom makes a pretty bomb turkey, and she makes an even more amazing gravy. So the gravy over the turkey is, that's what makes it. It's the combination. Just plain turkey, unless you're having like turkey sandwiches the next day, is kind of overrated. But I like turkey.
It's all right.
Thanksgiving, okay, this is kind of weird. So check this out. The rest of the year, I'm like one of those weirdos that when I make my plate, I don't like other foods to touch each other. Like I separate my vegetables, my carb, and my fat protein.
Your defense line.
It's racist.
I do. And if someone like, hey, if someone asks me,
a separatist.
Like if my girl says, hey, do you want to try what I ordered? I'd be like, no. I don't. I want like when I have set my mind to what I'm about to consume, I want to taste that. I don't want to fuck up my palate with anything else.
I'm the same way.
So okay, good. That makes me feel good that I'm not the only one like this. And then, Thanksgiving is the only thing that I just like to pile everything
together,
throw some of the gravy over it, and just kind of shovel it all down.
I like mixing foods in general.
Yeah,
I do.
I look at you, and you look like a pie-eating food mixer.
A what?
A pie-eating food mixer. Food,
yeah, well.
You look like a fucking pie.
Throw it all in a pie.
Pie-eating food mixer.
I can't like decide if that's an insult or not.
I'm not sure if it was
you
meant to be.
Pie-eating mixer.
Well, so trip off this, right? Every Thanksgiving, right around Thanksgiving, something weird happens. I swear to God, I don't know what it is, but something always happens. Like one year, my dad, of all people, almost gets in a fist fight on Thanksgiving.
Yes. Your dad?
This is like 2 years ago or something. He was driving and some dude cut him off, and then my dad like high beamed him. So at the stoplight, the guy gets out of his car and hits my dad's car with his fist.
What?
So my dad gets out of the car and grabs him, and then the dude's like, "I'll sue you, I'll sue you." And then so my dad let go of him. Like he was just a little, he's a pussy. Oh, he probably felt, he felt the fucking grip. Let me tell you, my dad grabs you, you know you're going to go flying somewhere.
An arm is going to break.
So that was 1 year. So this is what happened to me, right? So I'm driving and a fucking dude cuts me off. So I'm like, what a motherfucking, on Thanksgiving, what an asshole. So I drive around him and I cut him off, right?
Because totally justified.
This is like super mature. Yeah. So I cut him off and he starts to pull up next to me. So I'm like, all right, this is going to go down. So I'm going to say some shit. Like we're going to, that's cool.
You're going to get it.
So I'm like fully prepared. You know, when you get that, like that amped up feeling, like I'm going to
adrenaline starts going.
Yeah. I might have to reach out and grab him, pull him out of his car while he's driving. So he's pulling up and I'm waiting to look over to see. He comes out, sticks his head out of the window. He looked like a chameleon. And I don't mean he blended into his car. I mean he had googly eyes that went in two different directions.
He's like, man, I just can't see the road.
So he sticks his head out. He's like cussing at me, right? And I start laughing my ass off, which is pissing him off because he's thinking this guy's laughing at me. Yeah. And I'm just busting up. And finally, he's yelling at me. I'm like, listen, it's all good, bro.
It's all good.
Yeah, what am I going to do?
I didn't know you were special.
Bro, yeah.
Bro, they both pointed. You're having a hard enough time with life.
Yeah, they pointed in different directions. Off. They pointed in, left and right.
Yeah, you can't. Although,
his lateral vision is spectacular.
Fucking amazing.
Yeah. So
his peripheral.
Do you guys go around the table and say what you're thankful about?
When we eat Thanksgiving dinner?
Yeah.
No.
That's always awkward.
No.
Wow, none of you guys do that.
No, we're not.
Wow, you guys are bad people.
We're not super religious. And here's another thing. Do you guys have to hold hands when you guys do grace?
We hold hands and pray.
So it's not strange holding
man's
hand.
You're such a heathen.
Like if I'm next to you, you're holding my hand, and Justin's on the other side, you're holding his.
Yeah, but there's a manhole, and there's a woman
insecure
hold.
With your sexuality.
I don't interlace my fingers with you.
Yeah,
I just can't. It's weird.
You don't like the finger hair.
Yeah,
right. That's a little weird.
It is, and I mean, I could kiss you on the cheek, no problem.
Okay.
You
pat my ass.
We could shower each other, no problem. Handing
shower,
holding hands is weird to me.
Okay, I want to back up. I want to back up here.
Too intimate. It's too intimate.
Yeah. Saying what you're thankful for,
bro.
For
you
the
can
year
feed me grapes, and I'm
religion.
Still going to be hetero. Huh?
Saying what you're thankful for the year has nothing to do with religion.
Oh, so it's not a prayer thing. You just say what.
No, you just everyone goes around the table and says, "Hey, we all share with each other something, or the things that we're most thankful for in this past year." Yeah, everyone kind of goes around and says, "Hey, I'm thankful for this."
Well, it's Adam. He's like the sentimental guy. Have you noticed that?
Yeah,
you guys are a bunch of dicks.
No,
well, what are you thankful for this year?
No, what am I?
I did it too. I'm just saying.
Oh, okay, you did. Okay, see, I knew you were a good person.
No, we didn't do that. You know what we did?
We have morals.
Can you do this?
Well, first of all,
can you do this?
Can I do what?
Can you do that?
Do what?
Think of what you're thankful for.
I'm thankful for a lot of things.
Well, let's narrow it down.
Huh?
Let's narrow it down to Justin.
Well,
and
let's
Doug.
Do this. Let's talk about something else while we're doing that. Think of
he's a hard time with this, right? Science, everything, but this is out of reach.
The obvious things. I'm extremely thankful for my family being healthy. I'm thankful for
those are all generic answers.
You know, meeting you guys. I'm very thankful for meeting you guys. Okay. And starting
that's what
mind
we wanted to hear.
That's pretty much. Yeah. I was searching for that.
Waiting for that.
I'm very, very thankful for that. Yeah. But here's the thing. Right, let me ask you guys this question: how many people were at your Thanksgiving party?
Depends.
15.
Yeah.
15. How many?
Two. So.
Yeah, so
you
say
two?
Well, my family and then I was.
Oh,
at
you
my
were
wife's.
At two. I thought you said two people were there. I was like, "What'd you do with your kids? Like you and your wife?"
I was like, "Someone could take try the kids." Try to keep it all low profile.
No, we have always a minimum of like 40 people. So there isn't one table
40?
That we always. I got a big family, we don't sit around like we can't really sit around a table. It would be in different rooms because everybody's sitting everywhere. So the way we serve our food is, you know, my mom or whoever's like, "Food's ready." We get in line. I'm usually first because I'm usually waiting. I'm like the guy that waits outside Walmart before Black Friday, except for the food. Mm-hmm. I'm hanging out. That's where I hang out because when she says, let's go, boom, I'm there.
Boom, you're done.
And we all line up and we get our food and then we go sit somewhere you can find a place to sit because there's 40 people in a fucking small house.
Damn.
Yeah. So,
damn.
So we don't have time to say thanks for shit. It's like, get your food and eat. There's no time.
Dude. The whole purpose, we get together.
Oh,
whatever. Get your food.
This food in my face.
I heard you ate a lot of cheesecake, too. Someone told me.
Oh, dude, who ratted me out right now?
It was
you did it yourself. It was on text.
It was your girl,
like,
bro.
Oh, right now? Oh, I can't meet at the gym. I'm eating cheesecake.
No, I ran into your I ran into your girl at Gold's.
Oh, so that's what
and I'm like, oh, where's Adam? And she's like, oh, he's at home eating cheesecake.
So,
I'm like, oh, okay.
So after we murdered turkey and stuffing and macaroni and cheese and all this other crazy stuff that was on our table, we had the pecan pie, the apple pie. So I had my pecan pie and apple pie a la mode, which was a must. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to go. I fasted up to that. We played basketball. And so I actually came out of Thanksgiving like a pound lighter than when I went into it, so which was awesome. So I actually lost weight going into Thanksgiving.
How did you feel after basketball?
Oh, like I was going to fucking die.
Really? Yeah.
Dude, this was so... Okay,
you didn't pull a hammy? I'm surprised.
Okay, this is how this went down. So my girls...
This is your reason for not coming to the post-Thanksgiving Guido workout.
Yes. So my girl... Okay, my girl's family...
there was no room for us, dude.
All ball players, right?
Let's be honest.
Always room.
So all ball players. Everyone's basketball players and all the way from... And there's the youngest who's 20 years old all the way up to the oldest brother who's in his 40s. And everybody played ball growing up. Like Katrina played at collegiate level. And it's me, her brother Larry... and her on a team versus the other three, which is Andy and his two kids. So he has the two that are in their 20s, and then he's the oldest at 40-something. And then I have Larry, who's like 37 and 38-ish, and then you have Katrina, 35, and me, 34. And Katrina tells me the teams the night before, and I'm like, and she's like, you know, she's like giving me the lecture. I want you to wear your knee braces, and I want you to make like, you know. I'm like, dude, give me a fucking break right now. Make me feel like I'm hella old and shit. I'm like, first of all, okay, if you and I are on a team, okay, we're gonna run game on any of the rest of your family. So I'm not even worried about playing. I'm not gonna play hard. She's like, listen, you haven't played basketball with my family. Normally, there's a fight. So be ready that perfect. There's a good chance you're going to fight one of my brothers.
There you go. No way.
Oh, yeah. She's like, every year somebody gets into a fight. She goes, it's the worst shit talking. So, and on the court, no rules apply. So
it's gorilla ball.
Oh, they're going to be dirty and they're going to play. But they're all ball players, so they know how to play right basketball. It's not like it's just unorganized. It's organized.
Nobody's calling fouls.
Yeah. We called fouls, but it was aggressive, very aggressive.
Yeah, but you don't want to be that guy. Foul.
You're right. You know, you don't want to call a little sissy fouls. The game came all the way down to the final point, and we lost by 1 point.
Oh,
yeah, I could not believe we lost. And at one point, I was like, we were up by 6 points. It was 11, in which I told Katrina, we should have played to 11. What were we thinking, playing to 15? So we played to 15. We were winning 11-6. They came back and ended up winning by 1 point. Every time I jump and landed on the concrete out there, it literally felt like somebody was taking a sledgehammer to my knees. And I was like, oh my God, and my low back.
Awesome.
And after the game, so what was so funny is, you know, we used to play ball like that all the time and very, very competitive. If I were to lose the first game we played, there's no way we're ending in one game. Like, it's like, run it back. That was too close. You know,
so you best- played again.
No.
Oh.
No, that's how you know like how deconditioned everybody's. It literally felt like I had smoked 2 packs of cigarettes.
Wow.
Like my lungs were burning that much. It was like, man, I guess
you start hacking up bile.
Yeah, maybe I got to stop this whole competing thing. Maybe I need to get back into a little bit of like cardiovascular shape. I thought maybe that was like the kind of because before,
but you won't.
Yeah, so, no, you're right. Yeah. Before competing, I was doing a men's league, so I played in a men's league all the way into my 30s. Where I played ball at least 3 times a week or more, and you know they kept me in good cardiovascular condition, and getting into competing where I'm all about aesthetics and not caring about that anymore. Well, yeah, I can get up and run like for a spurt if I need to. So like 40-yard,
you can get away from things.
Yeah. 40-yard dash, I could catch the average guy.
It's a completely different adaptation.
Totally, yeah. Right. But ask me to play for 30 to 40 minutes up and down a court, jumping up and down, and like I literally thought I was going to die.
Yeah, I thought I was. That's how it is.
If basketball consisted of elliptical trainers going back and forth, I could do a total 30-minute game.
Just get on my. Isn't that why those are so elliptical. Silly? Wee, little butt swivel. Yeah.
I was bummed out that we missed out on the Guido workout, though.
Dude,
it was so fun.
Yeah, it's always fun. It's the 7th year in a row, so we do this every year. All the boys came down. We all lifted, put on some evil music, and just talked a lot of shit, and it was a lot of fun. It's a good time. And then afterwards, we ate a Super Duper Burger. It's a new burger place in Los Gatos.
How was it?
Is that the one
fucking
right,
amazing.
Right near Phil's?
Yes.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I heard about that place, yeah.
It's amazing.
Oh, wow.
Right. So I...
Put that on the list.
So I went into Thanksgiving thinking I'm going to fast, like you did, but I had a big-ass breakfast. You know what it is? I went into my mentality was already there. Like, I'm going to fucking go nuts. So yeah. I just had a big breakfast, big ass dinner. Then the next day I had all those burgers. And I think I had 2 burgers, a chicken sandwich, and fries. That was one meal.
Justin,
the fat kid came out.
Do you have a do you have a magic bullet at your house? The little shake.
Oh my god! I thought you were talking about the sex.
No, not that. I knew.
Me too.
That's why I clarified it, because I knew right away Sal was going to say that.
If I did, I wouldn't tell you.
You know the little blender, the little magic bullet blender.
Yeah, it's NutriBullet.
Yeah, NutriBullet. Yeah, oh,
you were talking about the sex toy.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right.
Yeah, magic bullet.
So I got a drink for you, bro. Totally made up this concoction day before yesterday.
Concoction.
Yeah. So I French pressed my Phil's coffee. So I grounded up my things. I made my Dave Asprey fucking coffee. What's it called? The bulletproof coffee. Yeah. So I've got one tablespoon of organic butter, one tablespoon of coconut, and then my coffee. Uh-huh. So that's my base. Then I take two shots of Kahlua, two shots of Irish cream, put it in there. Then I take a nice little shot of whipped cream.
It does have sugar in it, yeah.
Huh?
The cream? Is it sweetened?
Yes.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
So why do that then? What's the point?
He's making a delicious drink. Why are you ruining his story?
I'm just saying. I drink the bulletproof for a reason. Yeah.
It's not healthy whatsoever. All but right. What I liked was I liked how.
Okay, I'm with you now. Now, deliciousness. Go.
Yeah. Well, and it also, what I like about the bulletproof coffee with the cream and the butter and stuff like that, it creates a little froth over there. That's what I was searching for that with alcohol.
Yeah.
So then I added a little extra. Of course. A little extra cream by squirting a little bit of whipped cream in there, right? And
you're so creative, dude. I'm not creative.
Bro, I'm not even done yet.
I put whipped cream on my magic bullet too.
Okay. So then I whip this thing up. I pour it out, and then I shaved dark chocolate.
Oh, okay.
And then I sprinkled dark chocolate
on top. You thought I was going to say ass.
Bro, one of the best alcoholic coffee drinks I've ever had.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm doing that.
I know.
Are you make that for me this weekend?
I got you,
let's
bro.
Let's do this.
I got you. I'll bring it up there.
What do you call it?
I don't know. We'll name it something.
The
Snake. I feel like I should name it after Justin because I know he's a coffee alcoholic guy like me.
Okay.
So I was thinking of him when I was making it. Sprinkle
Justin, I'll take it.
Because nobody else in my house are coffee drinkers.
The Cindy Kankle.
Kankle.
The Kankle coffee?
Yeah, Kankle coffee. I love it.
Sprinkle some weed in it. It'll be perfect. You have it all.
That's the coffee, Sal sprinkle.
Alcohol.
Yeah, it's the Sal bump.
And cannabis.
Oh, yeah.
Delicious.
That's not a bad idea. I feel like because our listeners, we rolled the trans gate. What was it called? What was Craig's business?
Whoa.
Trans gate.
Dude, where's he going tonight? I got the magic bullet, the trans gate.
You should have heard me teaching class today, dude. I was just making up exercise names. Oh, bro, I've been a mess today. You know, I don't know what's going on with me. It's like the hangover from all
the
food.
Though.
No, I think we should give our listeners maybe some good information and something related with fitness today. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
I have an idea.
Tell me.
We should talk about, because we've been, without giving away too many details, we have some secrets we can't tell you, but we're working on some stuff. And something came up, you know, Justin sent us a text and he's been doing a lot of isometric training or isometric type exercises lately.
Mm, right.
And there's a lot, you know, we have not covered this topic because
we don't talk about isometrics
at all. And there's some incredible benefits to utilizing isometric type training.
Well, I would like to clarify too, like as far as like the definition and what it is that actually we're talking about. So there's isotonic, there's isometric, and there's also isokinetic. So these are all different muscle contractions. So the easy way to sort of remember all these three, iso meaning equal, right? So equal force. So when you break it down, isometric, if you think of metrics, you're thinking of basically like a time length, right? And so you have... isokinetic is more focused on energy. And now, what's the first
isotonic.
One? Isotonic. So now we're thinking about tension. So now you got tension, energy, and length.
Okay.
So screw that. So it's length. So it's the length of the muscle. So if you can kind of break that down, like isotonic being like what you guys would regularly think of when you're thinking of like lifting weights, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you get that contraction. Lifting the weight. So say you're doing a bicep curl.
Right.
So your muscle is going to account for that force by overcoming that force and shortening the muscle.
Right. For the concentric
phase. For the concentric phase. Right. And so then as you go down and you're decelerating, you're lowering it. You're lengthening out. That's the eccentric phase.
Right.
So basically what I'm doing is I'm focusing on isometrics. So I'm trying to keep tension in the muscle and the actual length of the muscle is going to remain the same.
Right. So it would be like, a good example would be like flexing my bicep really hard.
Right.
Like that's an isometric contraction.
Or pushing against the wall.
Pushing against the wall and not moving you or the wall.
It's just something that remains constant.
Yes. 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 Some interesting science behind that, by the way. It's funny because I have not visited isometric training since I stopped grappling. I used to do it a lot when I'd grapple because it's a very sport-specific type of contraction when you grapple. When you're getting in a hold and you're holding someone, it's a very different type of strength. Versus, you know, pushing forward or pulling back.
Well, talk about a great way to build a central nervous system. That's probably the number one out of everything.
There was one study that they did, a big study that they did, and they found that you are able to activate more of a neural response with isometric than both concentric and eccentric contractions. Wow. Over 5% more.
It's a great way to stimulate.
Yeah. So it's a great way to stimulate or to get that maximal exertion adaptation to apply towards your regular lift.
Now, that's funny when you say that because I think about like rehabilitation and like, when I went through my knee surgery and went through my rehab, I wouldn't even have thought to do that, but they didn't do that. Mm-hmm. They didn't do isometric stuff with me whatsoever. Everything was, obviously you got to take the muscle through full range of motion because you're trying to keep it lengthened and you don't want to get shortened and you don't want all these imbalances. But I would think it would also be beneficial then if you say that to have incorporated some isometrics holds.
Well, isometric in general is a very effective tool to be added to mm-hmm. other tools.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. what I'm saying.
To be done by itself. No, and here's the other thing too. To get really anything out of an isometric contraction, you have to be able to generate a lot of force.
Right.
And typically when you're injured, you can barely move the muscle, let alone sit there and concentrate the shit out of it and really contract it hard.
Okay, that's a good point.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, not a lot of people really know intrinsically how to, you know, generate that tension. Right. And so that's something that, you know, has to be taught on some level, but also that's why it's so crucial in the corrective phase, I feel, to establish this neural connection again. And so you're opening up that pathway. There's a lot of muscles that may remain dormant in a movement, right? So you're thinking of a gross motor movement. There's going to be muscles that just based off of imbalances, which we had talked about in a previous podcast, like that are not contributing and they should be contributing. And so these are things we need to address and identify. And isometrics is a great way to reestablish that connection. So that way, you know, you have greater amplification of this, from the central nervous system.
It also produces, when you want to think of a hard body, when you just feel hard and dense, training isometrically tends to produce, and this is anecdote, but it does tend to produce that type of body. I'll give you an example mm-hmm. of somebody who's famous. Who's no longer with us, but who was known for his
Bruce Lee
was known for his isometric strength. He couldn't bench press a lot or lift a lot above his head, but he could take a 100-pound dumbbell and extend it out and hold it out at arm's length for a lengthy period of time. He had incredible isometric strength.
It's like crazy.
Ridiculous isometric strength, and it makes you solid and hard. And think about the stability that you get from that kind of training in everyday life. When I'm lifting something heavy or I'm holding something or someone bumps into me or I fall down or whatever, where I can brace myself and generate that isometric, that hard squeeze,
you can get
hold.
Immediate tension. One thing that he used to do, basically one of his philosophies was to remain tense within all of his movements so that he would really practice in the repetition of that on a daily basis, where he's going through specific types of movements, but he's remaining tense intrinsically the whole time through the movement. So they kind of coined a term for that. I think it was dynamic tension.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty similar to basically, like, if you're thinking of isokinetics, they have to have specific machines to be able to even make that happen. So what does that mean? That means that your energy has to remain constant as far as the energy it requires you to produce in order to go through the entire contraction. Both it could be concentric, it could be eccentric, right?
Well, you know, it's funny because back in the day, strongmen, the old strongmen, this was part of the routine. Isometric training was always part of the routine, where they would either hold something heavy or stand with a really heavy weight. Or hold themselves in a position, and then people will place weight on it, and they would do this for, you know, periods of anywhere between 6 to, you know, 20 seconds mm-hmm. Or even 30 seconds to hold these type of contractions. This was a regular part of strongman training. And what we find, if you look at studies, is isometric training alone will produce muscle growth. It does not compare to regular concentric and eccentric contraction type training. It won't build as much muscle as those. However, if you're smart and you add it strategically and use it appropriately and add it to a routine that is traditional that uses the concentric and eccentric contractions, you will get more growth, more muscle, more strength, more performance than if you never added it in the first place. And one of the big, I think one of the big downfalls or one of the things that people like to point out about isometric training is that muscles are relatively specific in how they adapt.
Mm-hmm.
So if I get, you know, if I train my muscle within a particular range of motion, a lot of or most of my strength will be in that particular range of motion. So when I'm doing isometric contraction, I'm not getting much carryover to the rest of the rest of the range of motion. But however, it's actually not quite that that bad. They've done specific studies on this, and they found that if you increase your isometric contraction, let's say I increase my isometric contraction at 90 degrees
mm-hmm.
with my bicep, it will apply to 20 degrees in either direction as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you actually get a lot more carryover than you think. Mm. And you can also change the positions of the isometric so that you can get that range of motion.
Yeah, because, okay, so I'm not going to give everything away, but like I have been adopting a lot of isometrics and also dynamic tension in what I've been crafting as far as like programming goes, and it has done like crazy things as far as like PRing and utilizing it at proper timing, you know, of incorporating it in certain stages of, you know, the phases that I'm approaching, especially with like Olympic lifts and power lifts and things like that. But basically, like the concept of like isometrically gaining more of this like neuromuscular recruitment pattern. So if I'm focused in one part of a movement, so if I'm going to break down a movement, I'm going to break it down in components. So mm-hmm. I'm going to start with like the first part of the movement. So now if I take that first part of the movement and then I do like
an isometric exercise
just in that one position, I'm basically communicating with my body like this is one of the patterns that I'm gonna need to replicate. So you're teaching your body how to go through each one of these components of the movement, and so now you take that into pieces. Now you place the total movement pattern. Your body is going to respond to it because I've woken up and turned on that communication.
And, you know, like I'll give you an example of, you know, what Justin's talking about. And I'll make it real basic. Let's say your squat weakness is at the bottom, which like most people, when they do a squat, they're the weakest at the bottom part mm-hmm. of the rep. One way you could use isometrics to strengthen that is to get under a bar that you can't move.
Mm-hmm.
Get in that bottom position and just drive, not trying to lift the weights. You got to be careful. You got to drive into the weight and then really activate all your muscles and contract the shit out of them and do that for sets of 10 seconds. That would be one way to give you increased strength in that position.
Right.
Here's the other thing with isometric training. It doesn't damage muscle very much. Once you start to adapt, you really don't damage muscle. However,
you adapt too quickly.
You adapt quickly and you can fry the shit out of your central nervous system.
Right.
If you're a very advanced lifter, like, you know, guys like us who've been working out for a long time, we can generate a strong, forceful contraction.
Well, if you're giving max exertion, right?
And
so that's, and basically that is a component of isometrics you do want to focus on, like really going for that max exertion within that position. Yeah, there's definitely ways that you can use it in ways that aren't going to benefit you using it. So, you know, these are sort of things that I'm trying to articulate as I'm writing them out,
mm-hmm.
you know, programming wise.
So a couple things, and I wanted to let you guys go as long as you went right now, because I think that was fucking some of the best information we've given on here in a long time. And it's going to definitely appeal to a lot of trainers. I think. To get the mass audience, I want to kind of dumb it down and break it down a little bit to what we're talking about. Because right, isotonic, isokinetic, isometric, we're talking about concentric, eccentric motions. I mean, we're talking about a lot of technical terms.
Right, let's just dumb down isometric.
So a couple things. I think Sal gave one of the best analogies I've ever heard anyone give with understanding the importance of the central nervous system. So let's first talk about that. Then we'll get into how to train it, because I think that's I think we can all agree that's probably the most beneficial thing that you're going to get from isometric movements. Wouldn't you agree? Would be that. the whole concept of this, the central nervous system, and like I said, Sal, I think has said this best out of all of us, was giving the example of it like an amplifier for speakers. And we all know that if you have these great big 15-inch woofers that are badass speakers, and you're running only 200 watts to that, it's we're almost worthless because those speakers are nowhere near
pretty weak.
Yeah, doing the capacity, which we've all seen this before. How many times have you ever walked in the gym and you've seen the big fucking meathead guy with huge muscles and he's over there curling 30-pound dumbbells, or he can squat barely squat two plates? Perfect example of somebody who's got the big woofers but hasn't learned to train his or train his central nervous system so he has this really strong effort. And how many times have we walked in the gym and seen that guy who's very unassuming? He's only weighs 150 pounds. He looks like a little scrawny fuck, and the guy's ripping 400 pounds off on his deadlift or squatting 400 pounds, and he's strong as fuck. That shows you somebody who's getting like almost maximum output on his speakers. He's done a really good job of building his central nervous system, mm-hmm. building that amplifier to get the most out of his speakers.
Right.
So that all being said, now isometrics is, and it's not the only way, but it's another great tool that we haven't talked about on how to build this central nervous system up, which is, you know, and we won't give a lot away, but I will tell you that's where I know Justin is working on some stuff and building some cool shit.
Well, I mean, to be clear, the reason why we won't give a lot away is not because we're, I mean, I said it was a secret. I was joking. The reality is it's quite complex.
Yeah.
And how you apply it. You can't just throw it into a routine.
Which is why I wanted to bring this back down so people understand what is this really doing for me? How do I incorporate this into my workflow? So I hope everyone understands that this is what it does. You know, by incorporating that, you are strengthening your amplifier so you can get the maximum output of your speakers now. So that's the whole concept. I love that analogy that Sal's given before. Now getting into how do we incorporate that? So I have a question for you, mm-hmm. Justin and Sal, is, you know, if I'm going to do an isometric hold, is there a protocol for the time that I do an isometric hold?
Typically, so, I mean, anything over, 5-10 seconds, I mean, you kind of mentioned it. It's at that point, like, you know, you're gonna overexert and you're gonna overdo. You know, if you get
you start to lose
diminishing returns.
Right. What happens if you go too long is you start to lose because you're trying to train the central nervous system to really push out maximally.
Right.
If you go too long, the central nervous system dampens down and you start to train endurance, which is fine if you want endurance. Like if you want to be able to. You know,
we're looking for maximum output. We're trying to build that amp up.
Then so you want
to
think of it
probably 5 to 8 seconds.
Well, it
tops.
Should last as long as a set of, you know, 8 reps in an exercise. So if an exercise that you do 8 reps lasts you 20 seconds, then that you want to go, that's about as high as you
want
to go.
Yeah, you want the same response as you would if you're lifting a weight.
Right.
So it has to be about the same timing with that. But yeah, you could do it for conditioning if you go into excess of that.
Mm-hmm.
And also if you're really just, you know, you have no communication. Like sometimes it takes people in the very beginning, like longer than that to really start to feel a connection be established.
That's a great point, Justin, because right now all of us could flex a muscle real hard if we wanted to. And there's a lot of people out there who would probably have to concentrate on flexing it for like, you know, flex, squeeze, 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 squeeze. And then all of a sudden they're getting that, that muscle fire. How many times have we had a client like that?
Yeah.
You know, where you like squeeze this and they're squeezing it. And then after about 5 or 10 seconds, it's finally starting to really fire.
Because the most effective way to use it is intrinsically. So you're producing this force as opposed to like with loading a weight. So I think some people also think of isometrics as something weighing you down. And then, or you're overcoming gravitational forces, right?
No, necessarily.
Not necessarily. Like the way that I feel is most effective is the way that you're applying these forces. So you're actually the only way to establish that connection is to squeeze, to brace, to get that a muscle to contract on your own. Okay, so if I'm just clenching my fists and I'm trying to tense my whole body up, that's an isometric hold.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's just a little bit of a difference. Don't think of it as I'm just holding this weight at the bottom of my lift.
No, let's use that.
And it's like smashing.
Let's use that as an example, what you just said, because I think it's great. If you were to stand upright and tense your body up, trying to tense the entire body up by clenching your fist, here's when you know you're doing it right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
If you're clenching and you feel it in your hands, because you're clenching so hard versus inside your center. That's right. When you know you hit it right. Like, that's how I explain. When I'm doing an isometric hold with a client, I'm explaining, we want to feel this from the center, right? From the center of your body, your abdominal kind of core region, and then outward, not the other way around, where you're focusing, which is, that's the, I think that's the mental connection mm-hmm. piece
right.
that you're really training and that people have a hard time with, is you look at your limbs and your, or whatever you're grabbing, holding, or pushing against.
So it's just biceps or whatever. Yeah, it's going to stop in the chain right there, whereas exactly. we're trying to amplify the entire body. So yeah. I want leg tension. Yeah.
Right.
So a lot of people, you know, it, and that's where that separation has occurred a lot, especially with the split training mentality, which I have, that's why, one of the reasons I know Sal brings up the benefits of total body training all the time, as far as an overall strength and muscle building effect is superior. However, it's also because I'm getting that, you know, your body wants to move in these gross motor movement patterns first. And that's how it prioritizes.
It doesn't want to work in isolation.
It doesn't want to work in isolation.
Actually, training in isolation for too long trains your body to work in isolation, and you actually get problems. Then you start to...
Then you get dysfunction. Yeah, so that, if I'm walking and my knee, you know, I'm raising my knee and I'm moving and I'm twisting my body, you know, like, and my upper body isn't involved with this. Like, this is where, like... That,
you're literally breaking it down into different muscles.
You're 100% correct. You'll never... use your biceps to pick something up in a preacher curl position.
It's not functional for any
part
of life.
You'll never be in a preacher curl position and curl something up to your shoulder with your bicep ever in your life, but you will pick something up off the floor and bring it up to your shoulders or do something like that, where a movement like that or a deadlift.
You were talking about how getting the whole central nervous system to fire, but you know, it's also it's someone working in isolation all the time might be able to get a really hard contraction in their bicep. But then when they try to activate the rest of their body with their bicep, like you said, lifting a box or something, then things don't communicate well.
Yeah.
So there's so much, and this is just the thing. This is a very complex thing, mm-hmm. and the way you apply it has to be done in a very appropriate scientific way. Otherwise, you're not going to get a lot out of it, or you'll fry yourself. But if you apply it properly, you can get some amazing benefits.
Right.
You know, one of the things that reminds me of and martial artists are huge in isometrics.
Yeah.
Like, you see all those kung fu guys who stand and they're freaking tense, and then they'll break like a 2x4 over their back.
Mm-hmm.
They're able to reach an isometric contraction that's like cement.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Where they get punched in the stomach, and they're just, you know, everything's like a freaking solid.
Well, it's also like animals. Like, so if you think of why a chimp is really so strong, and granted, they do have like really dense, you know, massive muscle
good
mass,
leverage, all that stuff.
Right, all that kind of stuff. But really, their central nervous system, like instantaneous firing ability, it's not just like if they're grabbing something, it's not just like at their limb. It's all the way through their shoulder. Mm-hmm. It's all the way through their core. It's all the way through their legs. And they do it instantaneously without any, break in or kink in that communication. So, it's like we said before, it's like having governing, like we govern ourselves based off of like, we have a lot of little things that we try to make more efficient because we're less active now. Whereas, you know, with them, it's like there's no little like nimble deck, you know, things that are going on a daily basis. It's all like these major movement things that, okay, I need to just get that instantaneous help from my central nervous system to get like 100% effort there.
You know, I just remember too, the old school bodybuilders used to preach flexing really hard in between sets, and doing posing every week, because they would say it brings out the definition and the hardness in the muscle.
Mm-hmm.
Schwarzenegger was big on this.
Yeah,
he used to always talk about flexing.
There's some guys that still do that. In fact, I still do that once in a while. But it's funny when I see other people doing it, their mentality of it is what you just said versus what they're really doing is training that central nervous system really well.
I would say if you wanted to start taking advantage of something like this now. Is I would throw in a set here or there after you train a particular body part like chest or back or throw in a set and start to feel your body out. But we're gonna try and put things together, and it's not just focused on isometric. We're putting something big together.
Mm-hmm.
But isometric training is something that is number one. There's two reasons why we want to incorporate that. Number one, nobody fucking does it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this huge it's this gem that can produce great results. It's not a trick. You know, like occlusion training it gives you results, but it's kind of a trick. It's not something that's a huge, crazy boost to your training. Isometric training is one of those things.
Yeah, no.
Utilize it properly. It's a it can become a very big part of your routine. And nobody's talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's this crazy thing that no one's talking about. It's a lost art. Fuck, I love that. It's exactly what it is.
No, and that's how I felt about, you know, kettlebells and, you know, old strongman lifts. And the same thing why CrossFit, we always come back to it. It's like they brought, you know, the old way of doing, like nobody's deadlifting, nobody's doing backloaded squats, you know, to the capacity that, you know, people, you know, playing sports and going through programs were doing. So this is another lost art that has been effective. And I mean, Shaolin monks, like I immediately think of things like that. Like, you know, they're getting that strength, and it's not, you know, necessarily, you don't look at them as a physical specimen. But man, they're strong, and they're strong because of disciplined, you know, utilizing this this dynamic tension, this isometric style training. That if we could tap into that on a some level, it's going to benefit the overall.
You guys ever meet someone, or, you know, I don't know, because you guys have been in sports and stuff. You ever meet someone or compete against someone who was just besides being big and all that stuff, they were just hard. Like, they were immovable. Like, once they tensed up, it's like they're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
You ever noticed that?
Yeah, no. Made your hand do this like you're holding a cock. Immediately when he starts talking about hard stuff.
Squeeze that bastard.
The day that I feel like Mind Pump has really penetrated the industry is when we can walk into the gym and I start to see, like, isometric holds. You see people doing BFR. You start seeing, like, good-ass fucking techniques instead of the guy on the side. Do you know how often now I see this?
Bands,
it's driving me,
you know,
fucking crazy.
What, the sideways leg press?
Yesterday I saw both the sideways leg press and the sideways fucking hammer strength machine press with one arm. This bullshit. I want to walk up and slap him and be like, dude, really? You like Joe Swole?
Part of the Pump's army, huh?
Fuck, it drives me crazy.
Yeah.
You know what? It's getting worse, though. That's why I'm like, dude, we got
to
hurry up.
But there's good stuff, too. Look, I went to work out today, and every rack was full. I had to wait 15 minutes to use a rack.
No, thanks to CrossFit, we figured out we need a squat.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Thank you, CrossFit. You did one thing right. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, that that has changed in the last 10 years. But for that changing, that's a good thing. But I still see this overwhelming amount of people that are now following these social media, you know, fit-tards that are, you know, preaching all these ways.
Ooh, hashtag fit-tard.
That's a new one.
No, that's Craig. I stole that from Craig.
Okay.
Yeah, Craig did that one. I thought that was pretty clever, though.
Hashtag fit-tard.
Yeah, fit-tards.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me personally, I talk a lot about squeezing the bar really hard in my exercises, and that's a form of an isometric training.
I did that the other day.
Yeah, it is.
How'd you feel?
That's effective,
I did
too.
Feel good. Yeah. I went heavy on bench the other day, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna really focus on that. I can't remember the last time I tried that and see if it makes a difference, and it did. It absolutely did.
Isn't it weird?
Yeah. No,
it's like you're crushing the bar.
Well,
it's exactly stronger.
It's exactly what we're talking about right now. It fires that central nervous system. You know what I'm saying?
And I'll drive those legs in super hard and get leg connection intense. Yeah. And it helps the overall.
Yeah,
it does. You know, it's because I trained in grappling. There were a lot of guys with, especially in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, with ridiculous isometric strength. Like, they'd get you in a position and you'd try to move them.
Yeah.
And they were really smart with their leverage, but they were also like, and these are guys that I was way bigger and stronger than, and they were just lock onto you like a freaking crab. Like, you can't take that claw off your hand, off your knee or whatever.
Yeah.
And that is so impressive to have that kind of strength.
Yeah. The one thing I think about it, like, remember when we talked about the basketball game we played against those Niner guys?
Yeah.
And, was it Pop? What was his name? The big Samoan guy that I was covering.
Oh yeah, Isaac Sapawaka.
Yeah, Sapawaka. So the one thing that was a great compliment to me, like, he made, because I'm obviously not that big, you know, in comparison, and this guy was like throwing around 500-pound bench press, like it was like his warm up. Anyway, so he's he's going to drive into the hoop, and it's like I had to hold my ground. Well, guess what? I needed to get immediately tense all over 100% my fingertips to my toes kind of strength, right? And I held my ground, and he couldn't you know, muscle me in, and he was like, whoa, what, you know, he was like impressed by that and like told me.
Well, yeah,
because
he's got like 150 pounds on you, so it's
easily
pretty, yeah.
He's a big boy, and he's strong as fuck. So anyway, but that's what we're talking about, like, is being able to you know, tap into that.
Well, how about the other extreme? You know, like new clients or people that have never weight trained before and do have no mind muscle connection, and they get in there like how poor their like central nervous system connection is. It's crazy when they can't even you. No matter how many times you show them the form right in front of you, they can't even make that connection.
Oh, you tell them to they can't even lift. They can't lift near their capacity for strength. They just can't fire like that.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times, I guarantee you guys have done this too. Can't tell you how many times I'll have a new person do an exercise and they'll feel it somewhere else because they've so disconnected from their fucking body.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They'll feel it in some odd stabilizer muscle. Like we'll be doing a tricep press down, I'll be like, ooh, I feel this in my abs.
Here, my shoulders.
Yeah. It's like you feel in your abs, you're so disconnected and so weak that you're feeling it in your abs.
Crunching the weight forward.
Yeah. So you don't fold in half, you know, and fly backwards off of this cable. It's such a, or we'll do a back exercise. I'm like, squeeze back here. Feel like I can't feel anything back there.
Yeah, what's this for?
Yeah,
it's literally
any trainer's gonna.
It's like a paralyzed muscle. That. It's kind of scary.
Yeah.
You know, another sign of that when you take time off and then you go do an exercise you haven't done for a while or work a body part you haven't worked for a while and you get that shaky. You know what I'm talking about? Where you start to push away and it's like,
yeah, yeah.
That's your central nervous system trying to fucking figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
You know? Why are we doing this?
I always, anytime I take off for a while and then go back to a movement,
get that shakiness. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And it's a weight you know you can get up. You know your muscles are strong enough to do it. But even bench press is one of those common ones. Like if I hadn't done flat bench press in a long time and I come back to it, it's like, you hit the plate and you're like, wait, this is light. I know I got this, but it's.
Exactly. Yeah. But what ends up happening after a couple sets is you start to feel stronger, especially if you're coming back, right?
Yeah.
That's your central nervous system, you know, putting into play. And it's, you know, here's another example someone was telling me about, brought this up the other day, and I thought this would be a great example. How strong are you when you're laughing really hard?
I've never even thought
you're
of
weak.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you're laughing your ass off, you're weak as shit. Your muscles have
getting like tickled.
Yeah,
I'm like that's like my one thing. Like I was like told my wife, I was like, you better not tell anybody this ever. It's like kryptonite for me. I have like no strength ever.
Adam,
if somebody tickles me, I'm done.
Let's tickle him this
weekend, bro. You're getting tickled.
Damn
this weekend on our getaway.
I mentioned that
we're gonna pin him and Doug's gonna tickle him. Yeah, but when you laugh, your central nervous system essentially shuts off.
Yeah,
and your muscles haven't changed. You're just weak because that amplifier was turned down.
Hell yeah.
Thanks for listening to Mind Pump. Please subscribe to our awesome podcast and leave us a 5-star rating and review.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.